Good to be with you today. We missed you last week, and we're so happy to hear that you had a wonderful worship service with Calvin's message, and it all was really wonderful, and we're just so blessed. And we felt connected to you through the Spirit, and it's good to be back today with such a wonderful word from God for us today. It really is from Him. And, you know, each week God speaks to us. This week is something special, because I believe that the Holy Spirit has something for each one of us to really gain from and to lift our spirits and also give us direction in our lives in a wonderful way. And so we praise God for that word that He gives to us so that we have that to look forward to each day in our lives. I was reading in different commentaries about this scripture, and I just want to let you know a couple of truths that we are reminded of in God's Word. First of all, the church is the full expression of Christ. I like that a lot. The church is the full expression of Christ. It goes along with creativity, right? There isn't a day in our lives that should be boring. There isn't one day that should be boring. Every day is an exciting day because God has given us this life to be creative and to use it in a way that is new and exciting. Amen? The church, the body of Christ, the church, we the church, and all churches in the universe, are the full expression of Christ. Think about what that means for you today. How do you express Christ in your life? How does our church express Christ? It's a wonderful, wonderful thought. And it comes from God's Word. In Ephesians, we read that the body of Christ, risen, is risen and exalted over all things. Exalted over all things. That is the truth. Christ is exalted over all things. Right? The body of Christ represents Christ risen and exalted over all things. And so we rise up in Christ over all things in this world. All of the despair, the war, the violence, the things that people do that are not in keeping with God, the church rises up above those things in Christ to bless people with the good news of the gospel, to let them know that God is alive and well, and He has given them purpose in life, and they need Him to be saved. Right? And all that we possess in Christ, all that we possess, all of this authority we possess in Christ depends on the initiative of Christ. He initiates it. We do not initiate. We follow Christ. But He initiates everything that we do for Him in His kingdom. And that's a very, very good place to be, with Christ initiating the things so that we don't depend upon our own powers, which are limited and sinful, actually. But through Christ, we have new life, and He initiates all the things that we do for His kingdom. And so you could say, Christ, initiate all things that You desire for me to do in this day before me today. When we get up in the morning and say that, initiate Your authority and power today in the world and make it happen. We can have confidence that He will hear us, right? There's also another great truth in this book of Ephesians that we're looking at. Paul is writing and praying for the church for the increase of their heavenly mindedness. He is praying for their heavenly mindedness. We get up in the morning and we're in this world, we're on this earth, and we've been given this life, but we are praying for heavenly mindedness. And that instills us with power of the Holy Spirit. The heaven is where there is no more crying, where there is perfection of God, where there is love abounding, where there are people singing praises to God. And so each day of our lives is an opportunity for us to sing the praises of God, to join with the heavenlies, to be heavenly minded. So that's another prayer we can pray each day. Lord, help me today to be heavenly minded. Not in the world, because I am in Christ. Help me to be heavenly minded, to be Christ minded, to be God the Father minded, to be the Spirit minded, right? And so when we look at this scripture here today, we are just amazed with this beautiful word that God gave to Paul to write to the people in Ephesians. Listen to the way he starts out. He's filled with thankfulness. We just sang about being thankful to God. He's thankful to God for the church there, and it's beyond the church in Ephesus. It's for all the churches in existence, because this letter was to be passed among the churches, and it's passed to us today, right? He starts saying, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. He's heard about their love and their faith, right, toward all the saints. I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Right, this is his attitude. He heard about their faith. He heard about their love for one another. And he's encouraged by that. And what does he do? He prays for them. He prays for them. You would say to yourself, I thought that they were good. They have love. They're sharing love. They're sharing faith. I thought that they have it already. Why does he have to pray for more? Because there's more. There's more, right? And so that's a great word for us here, right? In our daily lives, there's more. Each day, get up in the morning, show me more, Lord, show me the more. Show me the more that you have to give. He's vast, his love is greater than the ocean and in all of the universe and all the universes that exist that we can't see. God is greater than all those things. And so we also want to think about our lives and the creativity and the possibilities, and the more. There's more, and there's more, and there's more, and it never ends. Take that in for a moment, right? And that is what you have before you. If you're getting up and you're thinking about your life like this, God is saying, no, 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 no. No, you have to be here. This is it. And that's why we praise, and that's why we lift our hands and our arms, to take in and to show that we understand that there's much, much more. We're not defeated. We're victorious people. We're more than conquerors in all the things that we have, and that's what God feeds us in his word each day, to let us know this is a new day. Be creative. Be excited. Want more, because I give more, right? That's what God wants for us. It's an amazing blessing today from him. And what does he do? He goes on from there. I'm going to be remembering you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I gave you one of these little inserts here, and this, I want you to keep this with you, and please bring it home and put it in a place where you can look at it every day. You promise? Okay? Take it and put it in front of you and spend time with it. And this is the assignment from God. Okay? It's not me. God is giving it to us today with this message so that we can spend not the one day or 2 days or this week. It's every day until your life is over and you join God in heaven above. Write this upon your hearts. The word of God, this word right here, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is what he is praying for the people there. They have strong faith. They're showing love to one another. He's so encouraged by that. And so he gives them this. I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, of light and power, the universe that has created this universe and whose glory is greater than anyone can even look at because it's so great in power. He touches our lives. May he give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If we skip down just a little bit, we'll understand the Father of glory. The glory is the light of God the Father that comes into our hearts and illuminates them, right? Illuminates them opening the eyes of our hearts to the things that he has promised to us. So that glory, you can put it in this kind of a view here. The glory of God, I'm praying to God, the Father of glory, of all the greatness, to come into your heart and illuminate it so that you can hear the three things that he has for you right here. So the Father's glory is coming and shining right down into your heart. Take your hands and put them over your heart and feel. Take that glory of God. Come on, do it, everybody. Take your hand and take that glory of God and bring it in here. The glory of God is shining now in your heart. The Father of glory is here with us now and coming into our hearts. You're taking it in. Little children, we go to children and we use our hands all the time and we show it to them so that they will be able to remember things. Get over your shyness about being an instrument of God. If little children can do it, so can we. Get rid of your inhibitions, right? Take away all those things that are making you shy for the world and shine like the stars in the sky. The glory of God coming into our hearts. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for your glory that shows me the greatness that you are and that shows me the greatness that you have prepared for us in this word. Right? So you can just pray over this passage that way and just say, each time you say, Father of glory, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, when we think of that, we can think of this verse in Colossians. In the book of Colossians, Paul also says very similar things that he was sharing with them. And in chapter 1, it says in verse 9, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so we hear that the spirit of wisdom is the knowledge of God's will. What is it that you want me to do, Lord? Come into my heart, illuminate my heart, and fill me with the spirit of wisdom so that I will know your will for my life. We have students, we have people going into work, new work. We have people that are searching for the things in life. We have unanswered questions. We have things before us. God, fill me with the spirit of wisdom so that I will know your will of what to do. Can you do that for a moment? Just do that. Ask God to do that. Father of glory, give me your spirit of wisdom so that I will know your will. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, but I know that you're going to let me know what I should do. And then he also speaks of the revelation. The spirit of revelation. We don't need to think very hard about this, do we? When we think about John going to an island where he was banished for his faith in Christ, and he was away from any human being and far away from any, he was in prison, and they felt like he's worse off. I have to laugh. And John would laugh too. Why? Because the spirit of revelation came into that island, onto that island where he was so-called suffering for the gospel. And he was given the future for all of mankind. The spirit of revelation reveals what God has for us and the greatness of God. And he even saw Jesus. And he gave him the words that we have in our Bible so that we can see what is going to be happening in the future. That is what the power of God is, that we ask for the spirit of revelation. Are you game? Are you up for it? Are you ready for something like, are you ready today, brothers and sisters? Are you ready for that power that is here and available to us now? It's available. It's not something that we pray for like maybe God will whip it up. It's already in us. It's in us because we possess the Holy Spirit in us when we believe and we're converted and we believe in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. And now we're praying to God, the Father of glory, come in with your light and illuminate and show me the will that you have for my life, and also fill me with the Holy Spirit of revelation. Reveal to me the things that you have for me, Lord, and that you want me to do in my life. Right? That's just so incredible. I was reading this really great article. It's actually a book by Watchman Nee. Have you read any books by Watchman Nee? If you haven't read any of his books, I recommend that you try. Okay? Read one. You could read one. It's actually called The Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation. That's the name of the book, right? So he saw that as being so important that he wrote a book about it. And in that book, he was talking about that very fact that we all think like, oh, I'm going to pray to God and somehow he's going to like make his, you know, revelation up or something like that at that moment. No, it's already in existence. It's already there and it's living inside of us. I'm so thankful for Watchman Nee, you know, pointing that out. It's not like something we can't really, you know, imagine, because we can know God and his truth in his word, and he's speaking that to us. But it is already in existence. But we have to initiate that by praying to God and saying, God, give me the spirit of wisdom, of knowing your will for my life, for my children's lives. Right? And we should be praying also for our children and also for those in our lives that don't know Christ, that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in their lives and come to the belief in Jesus Christ. Don't lose this. Don't lose these words. Write them on your heart and pray over them for your loved ones, that they would be filled with God and the knowledge of him. And that's what he's saying it's leading to, the revelation in the knowledge of God. And again, we can say here in our feebleness and our, you know, it's God knows that we're weak and that we are just human beings, but he is inviting us into his greatness, that we are made in his image and that we have this great power that he gives to us to know him. And I was thinking about this. Isn't that something that we practice among ourselves? You can say, oh, I know that person. Do you really know them? Do I really know you until I spend some time with you and I go into your life and I go to New York with you, or I go to your job, or I go to your school and I see you and I understand who you are and what it is that you have inside of you. Isn't it the same kind of thing where we can grow in the knowledge of one another and the things that we see? And a girl that comes into my mind was this young lady from our church, and we met her and she was playing piano and we got to know her, and I drove her to a church youth group on Friday nights. She and her sister picked her up, took her there, and then she, you know, graduated from high school, and then she went to college. And I said, how you doing, Maggie? And she said, I'm doing okay, Uncle John, I'm doing okay, you know, I'm studying, you know, I'm going to be an accountant. And I said, an accountant? I didn't know you. She said, yeah, that's me. And I saw her as this pianist, and, you know, I took her to church, and we, you know, we talked about some things, and she participated. She was a really strong Christian, came from a wonderful family of Christians who know the Lord, but I didn't know her, right? So isn't it easy for us to then see that there are things about God that we haven't yet known? And the thing is, he wants us to know him. He wants to show us who he is. He wants to show us more of the greatness he possesses. He wants to show us all these kind of things. And don't get me started with this, because this is the Holy Spirit at work in us and starting to say, we want to know Christ. We want to know him. I want to know more about you. Don't you do that when you meet somebody that you fall in love with, or somebody that you really care about, and you say, I want to know more about you. What, who are you? What is it about? These people are, you know, going online now to these apps, and they're feeding information to date and stuff like that, and they feed, what do they want to do? I want to know who this person is. I want to know more about this person. And I want them to know me. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to know him in the things that he has for us and the great mysteries that he wants to reveal to us. And it's all for our good. It's tremendous. It's tremendous. I want to know him. And that's what he wants. And then he goes on from there. He will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. Here, this is a prayer every day. Come in, Father of glory, and enlighten my heart, the eyes of my heart. Enlighten the eyes of my heart. The song that we sang is good. I like it a lot. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. But I think it would be even better when we add, I know you. I want to see you, but I want to know you, because that's what it says here. I want to know you more. That is a great prayer. Lord, today I'm scared because I know that I'm sinful. I know that I've got weakness. I know that there are things that I'm doing wrong in my life, but I want to know you. I want to know you. Help me in my life. Help me with those things so that I don't have to be afraid of that anymore. There's so much that God wants you to know today about him. Pray these things. This is the being equipped part of a Christian, is to be equipped and then put into practice these prayers each day. And you can pray them with your loved ones and other people. This is fabulous. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that what? So that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. Wow. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, so that I will know what is the hope to which you have called me to. Right? I want to know what hope is. We talk about things that are immediate needs and things that people can relate to. You can bet everything that you've got on that they need hope. Right? And you have been given the Father of glory coming into your heart to open the eyes, right, of your heart so that you would see more fully than you do now what the hope is that God has called us to. And when we talk about that, it is the hope that he's called us to is called Jesus Christ and his salvation. But this is the part where we have to stay together here, okay? We have to stay together here because this is the Spirit. What beyond what you know right now is God going to show you about the hope of your salvation? You have received Jesus in your life. You have made him your Lord. You have said, Lord, I will be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, what's the more? What's the more that you have in that word hope to which I'm called? What are you calling me to? What is it? Lord, reveal it to me. Spirit of wisdom. What is the will that you have for my life? What am I here for? What am I here for? Show me my purpose. Show me the things that are beyond what my teachers in high school and elementary school and kindergarten and all these things that I've been learning in the school. What's the more? What's the spiritual? What's the part that you, this mighty God that has created me in this universe, what is it that you are wanting to give me and calling me to? And tears are allowed. Tears are allowed. Anguish is allowed. Frustration is allowed. Come as you are to the Father and say, Father of glory, right where I am, whatever it is I'm going through, be my God, be my light, be the one who shows me the hope that you have called me to. It has to come from you. It can't come from me or anybody else. It has to be your words going to God and saying, show me, Lord, as my name. And you've made my life. You've given me life. Now, please, God, show me. Reveal yourself. Spirit of God. The call, what he has called you to. And then the second thing, as if hope were not enough. Listen to this one. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And sometimes we read that and we think inheritance, okay, it's what we're going to gain. As God, you know, we inherit things from God and we go to heaven and that's our inheritance. But this verse is talking about us as being God's inheritance. You are the inheritance of God. You are the ones. Somebody said it this way. I think it's perfect. God looks at us as his trophies. Do you look at your life in that way? You have to. You are God's trophy. You are the one who comes as a result of his son coming into being and coming into this world and dying on the cross for you. And then you come to him and he takes great pleasure in that. And he's proud of you. He wants you to know your worth to him, that you are his inheritance through the salvation that was paid through the cross of Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? That you today have learned, I have learned today, that God cherishes us, that he loves us, and that Paul is praying to the people there in that church and to our church today that we would know that. And it must have been that Paul knew that. It must have been this is a guy who killed Christians with pleasure, who was writing his name down and saying, I sign in for Stephen being martyred and killed and stoned. And now he's saying, this is amazing that this God who has given me this life and has forgiven me from all of my sins of hating Christians is now looking at me with great pleasure and looks at me like I'm his trophy, that I'm his child, that I'm one of his people. This is too much for me to take in. But I'm praying that for you because it's that great. Did we ever bargain for anything like this when we said, okay, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. No, we couldn't possibly, but there's more. There's more waiting for us. There's more for God to do in our lives. There's more for the people that we're praying for in our lives. We need to remain in that thought because it's the truth. His glorious inheritance. You are the glorious inheritance of God. Don't ever, ever think that your life is not worth anything. Do not ever think that your life doesn't have direction. It has it in Christ. It has it in God. He's given you this life and he sent his son to die for you so that you would have that truth, taking the blame that we deserve upon himself, but giving us that which he wanted so dearly to give to us. And then the last one, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? I read something that was very interesting, that at the time that Paul wrote to the Ephesians, there was a very cultish kind of a spiritualism going on with magic. And the people at that time were really gripped by this magic, and it had this kind of a feel to it that it was a black magic, you know, this kind of a voodoo kind of a thing or something that was drawing people into it, and they were afraid of that. And this kind of a word right here had the intention then of telling them that this is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe. Forget about the magic. It has no control over you. And so we have to ask ourselves today, what are the powers at work in us that we're afraid of? What are the things in our world today that we're thinking, you know, we're powerless. We don't have anything to do with this kind of a thing. Rubbish. Rubbish. This is the word for anyone who feels that way. The immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. And that is the glory of God coming into our hearts. It's not on our own. It's not us thinking really hard that this is true. It's the Spirit of God of wisdom and of revelation coming into our hearts with the glory of God and His light and shining in there with the truths that are real, that belong to Him, so that we live not like this, not like in prison, not feeling like, oh, we're off on stuck on some island, but Jesus Christ came to me on my island and He set me free. And He opened up my eyes to what the future is going to hold, not just for me, but for all people. And I've got to let them know. And that describes evangelism. That describes our mission in life, is to be able to say, we've got to let this know. We have to tell people. We have to let them know what we have been having God say to us through the opening and the brightening of His glory in our hearts and sharing that with people, and we can stand upon it. It's so beautiful. And the best part of this is this last part here. Where's the power, and what is the power that He is describing there? It's the one that is in sync with the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all authority, far apart above all rule and power and dominion, above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things, the church. The church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And that is what Paul prayed for them. But it's the resurrection power. And this is the last part. Okay, but this is truly important for us to grasp and to go into our prayer lives when we leave this place today. There's a verse that I want to read to you from Philippians. And I think that this is probably the best way for us to approach this. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, and the NIV has the best translation of this, I think. It says, oh no, it's actually verse 10. I want to know Christ. This is the same person who's writing to them. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, that I may share His sufferings and becoming like Him in His death, but by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. This is a person who is helping us today through God's Spirit to understand that we are to look closely at what the resurrection of Christ means in our lives. The greatness of the power of it. And this is important because we all too often, because again, we are human beings, we look at ourselves and we think about it like we've learned this and we say it, but it hasn't had really any power. I was saved by the Son of God who came down from heaven and died on a cross, having His hands nailed into a cross, His feet nailed into a cross. He was laid in a grave, and He rose from the dead. And what did it? It was the power of God in Him that raised Him from the dead, and that power is being given to us. So that is the assignment. Go to God and ask Him to reveal Himself, His will for you, and His revelation for your life, to open up with His glory your heart so that you might see the hope that is according to His calling for you, that you would know that He looks at you with great worth and with great treasure, looking at you as one of His trophies that has been saved from death and is now alive to give Him glory. And lastly, that you have power at work in you. You have power at work in you that is only comparable, is only meaningful by seeing that He took someone back from the dead. And that is what happens to you and me. We were dead and now live, right? That is the truth of the gospel. And that is what God wants for us. We want to have that same passion that Paul has. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ, God, Jesus, Lord. I want to know you. I want to know the power of your resurrection. What does that mean to me? It's not enough that you just tell me that you rose from the dead. I want to know more about that. I want to know more about you. I want to know what that power means for my life. And I know that it has some meaning to it because it's right here. And I want to share in your sufferings, becoming like you. I want to give my life completely to you. Have you given your life to Christ? Are you willing to pay a cost? Are you willing to give your life and pay a cost at all means for that more that God is willing to give to you? Say yes. Say yes to Christ. I want to know you. I want to know you more. I want to see you. I want to live my life with you. Oh, please, please. And that's exactly what Moses said to God. I want to see you face to face. I want to be with you. That's what Christians do. They yearn for God and they want to have that community with him. They want to be in him and them in him living in them. That's what being a Christian is all about. So we go through troubles, but isn't this much more? It's more. He's willing and he's given himself completely for us. And so we want to give ourselves to him. And so let's develop our prayer lives around this. Okay. This is an open-eyed, someone's called this an open-eyed, increasing discernment of the things of God. We desire an open-eyed, glory-filled, increasing discernment of the things of God. Give your life to God. Grow more. Say, Lord, what's the calling you have for me now? Where I am, I want to know you. I want to serve you more. Let us pray. Father, we pray and thank you for this word today, this powerful, powerful word. The words jump off the page because they are filled with the Spirit. We pray for your Spirit to fill our hearts and to renew our love for you, or whatever it is that your will is for our lives today, so that we would have a new sense of who you are and what you have done for us, the meaning of the cross, the meaning of the suffering that you went through, the meaning of your love displayed that way, that you would look at us as though we are your trophies, Lord, that we are meaning so much to you. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'll just help us each day to pray these words just like Paul and to pray them for our loved ones. I pray, Father, for anyone here today who has been suffering because of someone they've been praying for not coming to you. I pray, Father, that you would fill their hearts with your glory and open up the eyes of their hearts so that they would see the hope that you give to them, that you would feel the love of you cherishing their lives and loving them, and that you have empowered them with the words of life. You have empowered them with the Spirit so that they can be your witnesses and so that your words working through them will help to show others that you love them too. Help us, Lord, to have faith. Help us to have faith and renew it today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.